This is Mary Ingleby interviewing Tito Benedi on the 27th of March 2013. So, Mr. Benedi, if we can just start by, if you can tell me a little bit about your family in Gibraltar, if we could just start with this.
Well, my family, I come from a Jewish family, who came to Gibraltar from Morocco in the early 18th century. And we've been in Gibraltar ever since, although during a certain period my great-grandfather lived in Malta and his son went to Corfu, and I presumably have family there because he married there. But since 1840 my family has been back in Gibraltar. I was born in 1930. I went to school at the Hebrew school until 1940, when I was evacuated to Madeira. And whilst in Madeira, there were about 2,000 Gibraltarian evacuees, and they opened a school specially for us. We didn't have any trained teachers, but we didn't do too badly, and we did a lot of reading, which these days, of course, is not very usual. I remember spending, because school in summer only was in the morning, the school hours were from 9 till 1:30. In the afternoons, after lunch, we used to go to the local public library, where they had a 1929 edition of the Encyclopaedia Britannica, which I think the few of us who went there was about half a dozen of us, read from cover to cover over the period of a few years. After 1945, I returned to Gibraltar. I went to the Gibraltar Grammar School, and I was there 3 years. I did my high school certificate and higher school certificate. I then was seriously interested in God and was given a bursary to train as a minister for a Jewish congregation in London, and I was there for 2.5 years, but quite frankly I lost my faith. The degree I was taking was one on philology, which is not something that interests me, so I dropped out. And after messing around for a year or so, I did my national service in Gibraltar, and then came back to England and got married. I went into insurance. I started as a third-class clerk at the Prudential Assurance in 1953, and eventually, 2 years later, I moved to the city. I became a reinsurance underwriter for a Dutch company. I did a lot of traveling. 1964, I started my own underwriting company, which I sold in 1973 at the end, and I went back to Gibraltar in 1974. I was there for 6 years and got involved in local politics for a bit and ran a newspaper. And then I ran short of money and I went back to work for a couple of years. I came back to England. By that time, I had gone through my second divorce in 1982. I worked for a year in Lloyd's, and then I dropped out, and I've been doing history ever since. And it's been the most enjoyable part of my life.
I just want to go back to talking a bit about your parents. So they were Jewish. Were they both Jewish?
Yes.
And so were you brought up in a sort of religious, Jewish religious household? Can you talk about that?
Well, we considered it a religious household by Gibraltar standards at the time, but a strict Orthodox Jew. You remember, there are two broad sections of Jewry. There's Sephardim, who are of Spanish origin and Mediterranean origin, who are more broad-minded, and there is the Central European Jews, the Ashkenazi, who are much, much more, I would say bigoted, but perhaps that's not the word you want, conservative. So we were at home, we had kosher food, we kept the festivals, we didn't work on Saturdays, but my parents would eat out in restaurants, even if they weren't kosher. We would too, but we wouldn't be given any ham. The line was drawn there. They would have the ham, I wouldn't.
And how many were you in the family? How many children?
Well, eventually we were five. I was the eldest.
And perhaps this is quite a good time, because we are... just sort of comes into the story at this point, for you to give me a little bit of background about the Jewish community in Gibraltar.
Well, the Jewish community of Gibraltar is of Moroccan origin. And it's there, in spite of the treaty that Britain signed in 1713, agreeing not to have Jews in Gibraltar. And the reason was a very obvious one. You had a garrison there which needed fresh food, and the only place they could get it was Morocco, and the trade of Morocco was in the hand of Jewish merchants of Tetuan. So, I mean, I have written an account of this, which I can let you have a copy if you're interested, but in any case, they stayed in spite of everything, and in spite of being expelled once in 1717, but in accordance with the terms of the Treaty of Utrecht. But then England and Spain were at war again, supplies from Spain were cut once more, and they had to be readmitted in, and they've been there ever since. It was a religious community. Moroccan Jewry is influenced by, to a certain extent, by the background of Muslims in Morocco who are Sufis, so therefore there's always quite a lot of mysticism and Kabbalah. And on the whole, they were religious, but not aggressively so. In the years since the war, the community has changed. There has been a lot of influx of East European Jews, and the community has become much stricter in its religious practices. I mean, in my days, we had mixed schools, we had mixed dances. Today, the rabbi would not allow boys to dance with girls. So the boys dance with the boys and the girls with the girls, which is the East European
That's way like high school.
you know, which is, it goes against the traditions of the Jewish community of Gibraltar. They say, well, if you have a lot of mixing, you get mixed marriages, which is true. But then, I mean, the approach that modern Judaism, or Orthodox modern Judaism, takes to mixed marriages is something which I don't agree with, having had three non-Jewish wives.
So, going back to before, let me just start about, do you think there was always sort of anti-Semitism then between the British and the Jewish community?
No, on the contrary, they were very well received. There is no anti-Semitism in Gibraltar as such. I mean, there are a few people who are, but not generally. The former minister of Gibraltar was, in fact, given an award by the State of Israel for promoting the communal friendship. The last Bishop of Gibraltar, a Roman Catholic bishop who was a school friend of mine, Charles Caruana, also did a lot to promote interfaith friendship. So there is no anti-Semitism as such today, but because the present Jewish community has cut itself off out from the general community, it could arise in the future.
Yeah, okay, I understand. We're talking about numbers, how big was the Jewish community in Gibraltar, let's say in the 30s?
Well, historically, it reached, in 1750, it was 30% of the civilian population, which was about 300. By 1780, at the time of the Great Siege, it was about 600. During the course of the 19th century, it became almost reached 2,000, which was about 10% of the overall community. Today, it's about 300 or 400, which is about 1%.
So pretty small today, then.
Today it's pretty small because a lot of people have left. Many have gone to Israel. Many have settled in England. And there has, of course, when there is any intermarriage, people are received quite readily by the Roman Catholic Church, and the Jews are very much against it. So the tendency is that whether there are mixed families, they become non-Jews. I would say that 10 or 20% of the Gibraltar middle class have Jewish parents or grandparents.
Were there a lot of Jews? Did Jews come to Gibraltar during the Spanish Civil War at all?
Not particularly, no.
Do you remember refugees? Now we're on to that.
Well, I remember some German refugees settling, coming, but there was only one or two who settled in Gibraltar in the late 30s. The big Jewish migration to Gibraltar came in 1727, after the border closed completely. And there was no more, the number of Spaniards in Gibraltar reduced, and the place was taken by Jews from Morocco. And this was similar to what happened when the frontier closed in 1969, except that in 1729 it was Moroccan Jews who came, and in 1969 it was Moroccan Muslims.
So really, Gibraltarians are all quite a mixture of lots of different people.
Oh, very
people.
Much so, very much so. The basic culture of Gibraltar was determined by the early inhabitants, who were mostly Genoese and Moroccan Jews, with, of course, an English overlay, because the culture was anglicised up to a point. During the course of the Napoleonic and French Revolutionary Wars, there was a tremendous economic boost to Gibraltar, and all the labourers and petty artisans who had been there in the 18th century suddenly became important merchants, like my own ancestors. So you had, after that, an influx, because the frontier opened, you had an influx of Spaniards. So there was a difference between the middle-class society, which had a much larger tradition from coming from Genoa and the Jews, and the working class, which is more basically Spanish, as Professor Hayek pointed out in a report he wrote in 1944.
That's very interesting, actually, that class division, because that sort of bears out with some of the interviews that I've been doing with people's attitude, or what they felt, that the British felt about them, because more middle-class people seem to talk about that there was no conflict between the British.
No, but...
But working-class people seem to think that the British did look down on them.
Yeah.
So what's your feeling about that?
Well, because they were Spanish, basically. They had a Spanish background. I mean, at home, I used to speak to my mother and grandmother in Spanish and to my grandfather and father in English. Because, you know, we were a mixed culture and you know, we had no anti-British feeling, whilst a lot of people in Gibraltar have an anti-British feeling. Basically, part of it was caused by the attitude of some of the petty officials and the military in the post-war period.
That's it.
There was a reaction to that. I never felt it because I wasn't living in Gibraltar at the time, and I dealt with English people as equals, always.
I mean, some of that sounds very similar to the sort of way, you know, the British behaved in other colonies. You know, this was the British in the Empire. This is how they were.
Well, these are officials everywhere. I mean, they always feel they're superior to everybody else. I don't think it's a particularly British trait, but it's how it affected people in a certain situation.
Right, well, thank you. That's very interesting. Let's just go back to you now. Oh, one other question, sort of more general historical question, actually, I wanted to ask you. We talked a tiny bit about the Spanish Civil War, but were people in Gibraltar, you were obviously very young, so you probably didn't know, but
I
wondered
when it started.
Yes, do you? Tell me what you...
It started, it was in July, and it was the first night of the La Línea Fair, and we didn't go to the first night, because we used to go to the fair in the afternoons. But that was a Saturday night. And I remember on the Sunday, my grandfather took me and my brother down to Eastern Beach with my aunt and my grandmother, and we were there with a big shade umbrella on that Sunday afternoon, and all of a sudden rowing boats started coming over from Spain and dropping people on the beach who were trying to escape from what was happening there, because that part of Spain was controlled by Franco from the beginning. So all these people started arriving on the beach. About an hour later, a single policeman turned up. And, of course, these were all people fleeing from the situation on the other side. And I remember the following week going past the House of Assembly, which is now the House of Assembly, which was the Exchange Library, and seeing people who were actually camping in the lobby, which was undercover. Later on, of course, they had tents made for them, prepared by the army in North Front.
Do you think a lot of those people, Spanish refugees, stayed?
Oh, yes. And they had a very important effect on Gibraltar politics, because obviously the ones who stayed were those who were extreme left-wing, and they played a very important part in the development of the Gibraltar trade union.
That's really interesting, isn't it? That's what you don't... Yeah.
It gets more interesting than that. Because I've done historical research, and the files at the Public Record Office, which are normally open to these days after 20 years, the files relating to the Spanish refugees in Gibraltar are closed for 75 years. And not only that, but I discovered when I started inquiring in Gibraltar that in 1958 the Foreign Office has sent an official over to Gibraltar to burn all the Gibraltar files.
So why?
I have my own views on it, but I mean, it's only a guess. I mean, we know what the... There was, in 1943, an American operation to infiltrate left-wing people into Spain to try and bring Franco's regime down. Funnily enough, as soon as they landed on the Spanish coast near Malaga, Torremolinos, the police were waiting for them and shot them all. So somebody who didn't want Spain to turn left had obviously informed the Spanish authorities what the American Secret Service were doing.
Or didn't want Gibraltar to turn left, you mean?
No, not Gibraltar, Spain.
I thought, sorry, they were coming into...
No, they were going from Gibraltar to Torremolinos.
Oh, okay, sorry, they were going the other way. So yeah. After they'd...
After they landed in Spain.
After they'd... Right, so, sorry, just to be clear on this, had they come from Spain originally...
No, they were in Gibraltar.
Oh, so they were Gibraltarians?
No, they were Spaniards from Gibraltar who had taken refuge in Gibraltar. These were left-wing people.
So they were the original refugees who you were talking about who came in on the boats, right, and then they went back, and then they were shot.
Somebody told the Spanish government about it, and it must have been the British embassy in Madrid, and this is why I assume that this is why the files are kept secret.
So it is a bit of a story, this, isn't it?
Yes, but so far I've only had suspicions. I don't have any proofs. As I said, the files here are closed. And the files in Gibraltar were burnt.
So the files here will be opened, what, in about 20 years, 15?
36, 75. Well, they should be open by next year.
That'll be very interesting.
If they're open. Because there was another file to do with the airport, which was closed for 50 years. And when I went back in 1986, I was told that they couldn't find the file. I later discovered that the file was in the bottom drawer of the desk of the deputy governor in Gibraltar, but it wasn't accessible to me. So when people want to keep things quiet, they very easily lose files.
Sounds like film.
Well, that's the way governments work.
So there's a lot of uncovering still to do about that part of history and that time.
If it can ever be uncovered.